This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you. We've got a Game 7 in the NBA Finals, thanks to what we saw in Thursday's Game number 6. So we have to get you guys a preview there. What I'm all taking a look at with regards to prop run, I'm looking more sides of totals at what we're going to be getting live in regards to that game. But we certainly do have a lot of fun that is going to be coming up in terms of that Game number 7. There's some things I've been honing in on, so we'll hit that in a minute or two. But we're also going to be looking at this baseball card for this Friday as well. So we've got all 30 teams in action and any games I might not hit for the baseball card, by the way. If you listen to the Baseball Betting Show, that is a part of the VSiN Family Podcast that is hosted by yours truly, Greg Oops Peterson. I break down every single game every single day. So we've always got that on lockdown. And being able to have things on lockdown, how about the Indiana Pacers going out there just absolutely taking the lunch money of the OKC Thunder as they do find a way to persevere? They get the job done for a Game 7, this by a 17-point margin, 108-91. And frankly, game wasn't even that close, as you did see the Pacers up 30 points going into the fourth quarter. Proves once again correct my theory of all you need to do with regards to this NBA postseason. I know that sounds very, very simple, but take the team that's down in the fourth quarter with plus points and you've been able to make some money all season long. And you know what? For the OKC Thunder, they did look quite a bit better in the back half of this game. So a little bit of credit where it is due. But by then, the game was already done when you go down 30 points going into the fourth quarter. But for the OKC Thunder, they're going to be looking to bounce back as 8 to 8.5 point favorites against the Indiana Pacers. And right now, that total is right around about 215.5. We did see an initial opener over at DraftKings of a 9 with regards to the Indiana Pacers being an underdog. That was really the lone 9 that came out there. And things have very much been able to settle in. We'll see if there's a little bit of movement in the AM, because what caused a lot of movement in game number 6, just the uncertainty of Tyrese Haliburton. Haliburton looked very good in this game. He supplied the team with 14 points, went over his player point total, so that was able to be very helpful, and there was a lot of buzz around that. Like, I personally thought that Tyrese Haliburton was not going to be anywhere close to 100%. I thought that he might be a little bit more of a decoy. I was wrong. Fortunately, before the prop that I took in response to that, Andrew Nembhard to go over his point prop, he was still able to go over there, so we will certainly take that. But Rick Carlisle talked about this after the end of the game, the fact that it wasn't necessarily the Indiana Pacers throwing out their a smokescreen or anything like that. He just let the media do their job with everyone talking about the injury to Tyrese Haliburton.
He's super important to us, and I think the big thing was there wasn't a lot of drama. The drama was created, you know, in the press somewhat, because there's a lot of talk about it. It was not coming from him. He was straightforward. He didn't want a lot of attention. He was doing everything possible to be able to play. And then, you know, fortunately, we were able to keep his minutes reasonable, because, you know, we had a great first half and a good start to the third quarter. So, you know, one game.
Yep, and it is going to be a Game 7 do-or-die scenario. And, I mean, as you mentioned, with Tyrese Haliburton not having to play really north of 25 minutes in this game, should be relatively good to go in this one. And, I mean, for Tyrese Haliburton, the fact that he looked just so good when I saw him out there as well. Yeah, I mean, maybe you thought that he was hampered a little bit, but, I mean, if he wasn't 100%, he was pretty close at the very minimum, like 80, 85%, which is better than where I thought he was going to be personally. And now he gets a few days to be able to rest and relax before this game number 7. And you know that he is going to be giving it everything he's got in this game number 7. The training staff, they're going to give him the best medicine that they possibly can to make sure that he is all set, ready to go. And they're going to be working around the clock to be able to get his body ready. So I don't think that there's a lot of concern there. And that's very much being pointed out in terms of the player prop market. Now, if you're taking a look at the prop market, it is a very intriguing one, because you've got a massive dip from what we saw in game number 6 to game number 7 with the total. And that's just because there's always more urgency, more drama, hype around every single possession, just a little bit more due diligence in the way that the ball is taken care of as well. So that's something that you do want to be gauging, and that's a big reason why you've got this game number 6 total being more around about a 223 and game number 7 being in the neighborhood about 215-215.5, so a full 7.5 to 8 point drop with regards to that. But I think that there are some great props to be able to take a look at for this game, and I do think that we are going to be able to find some great value there, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And certainly with regards to player prop market, I think that we've got a lot of fascinating ones. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's a man that is leading the way. If you're looking at the highest player prop with regards to this, you're able to get him in currently at a 32.5 with regards to this over-under. That's one that I really don't want to mess with. And the big reason why is because I could see him having a relatively solid game, but at the same time, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know that he's going to be able to create an impact. And for the Indiana Pacers, I would not doubt it if they try to prioritize, all right, let's hone in on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Let's make sure that he doesn't beat us. Let's see if the other guys do. So that's why I'm just really not going to mess around with too many of the OKC Thunder player props in general. The ones that I will take a look at are mostly going to be unders, because I'm taking a look at this player prop board right now, and you've got a lot of guys where their numbers have been relatively similar to what we've been seeing all throughout the series. But this is despite the fact that you've got a 7.5 to 8 point drop with regards to full game total. So if you, like me, think that there's going to be a little bit more of a sense of urgency, that should create a little bit more value on these unders. The one player prop that I'm not going to be taking a look at under on in terms of the non-starters slash more ancillary guys is Obi Toppin. It just feels like with Obi Toppin, the Indiana Pacers are really able to feed off of his energy. We saw him lead the way in game number 6 with 20 big points. Heck, we saw him in game number 1 be able to bury those 5 threes. Big reason why they are currently still alive in this series, because without his 3-pointers made in game number 1, they don't reach this point in general. But I will be looking at more of these, shall we say, ancillary guys to go under, because I just don't know how much run you're going to be able to get out of these guys, especially after in game number 6 you had the big giant blowout. I don't think that that's going to be the case in game 7, and even if things are starting to be a blowout, you're not going to be seeing these bench players coming in, because it's a game 7 do or die. If you're the OKC Thunder, if you're up 20 points with 6 minutes remaining, you're not taking your foot off the gas. You're going full pedal to the metal. You're going to try to win that game by 500 million billion points if you're able to. You're going to take a 1-point win either, because I mean, they're not concerned about the point spreads. They are concerned about being able to hoist up the old trophy that you get for winning the NBA Finals. So there's that aspect of things. But I mean, I'm looking at like Aaron Wiggins to go under his 7.5 points. You're taking a look at Alex Caruso. Right now his over under is at 9.5. Now that's with plus money if he goes over of the 9.5. You're able to get that at more reasonable juice at 8.5. I'd be looking at that to the under as well. The one guy that I think could be able to step up in terms of more of an ancillary role or an ancillary just piece in general is Ben Mathurin. I've been noticing throughout this postseason, typically when he goes under his player prop in the previous game, he goes over the next one, and vice versa. When he goes over one game, he goes under in the next. 2 points more than myself in this game number 6. I do think that with Ben Mathurin right now seeing that player prop at a 7.5, a little bit of value to the over. That's one that I will be taking a look at. And then the guy that I think is going to step up for the OKC Thunder, that'd be Isaiah Hartenstein. Hartenstein over 6.5 rebounds. You're able to get that at a relatively good number, seeing that right around about minus 105, minus 110. I will be taking a look at Hartenstein to be able to pull in some boards. I think that the OKC Thunder are going to be seeing that they've got a nice edge on the glass. So that's one that I'm going to be diving in on as well. And I do think that they're going to look to neutralize Pascal Siakam a little bit more. He has really been the Thunder killer here throughout the postseason. He's been able to do a nice job just being able to put points up on the board. Right now, that rebound prop is at a 7.5. I'd be looking at him to get neutralized a little bit more in this game. So we've got ourselves just a really good game number 7. Again, with regards to that side in total, if I had to play anything right now, I do think that this is correlated. If you think that the Pacers are going to be able to cover this game, you'll probably like the over. If you think that the OKC Thunder are going to be able to win this game, you'll probably like the under. So I should say the Pacers to the over, the Thunder to the under. So Thunder under, that makes sense a little bit. But that said, I do think that with the OKC Thunder, they do a nice job with regards to their defense. But I think that the Pacers are just going to be able to find a way to hang in there. I think that you perhaps look at like a 6-point loss, 5-point loss for the Pacers. I do, in the end, think that the OKC Thunder get their first trophy since they were in Seattle as a franchise, but I do think that the Pacers keep this one close. If I had to play it, like I said, well, I would be going with the Pacers and the under, but or I would say the Pacers and the over. But that said, with regards to this, I'm going to look a little bit more in-game at that. And what we're looking at is the game of football as well over here at VSiN, as right now, football, we are getting in those features. We are getting set for the upcoming season, and VSiN has a really good early bird special. This gives you access to everything that we do here at the network all the way through the Super Bowl for $175. That'll get you the NFL betting guide that is going to be out in less than 2 weeks. Daily best bets all throughout the season with our VSiN shows and guests, getting you a daily best bet email on all those plays. Exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Full access to the VSiN Watch app to be able to watch show replays and so much more. And deep analytics and betting tools. You want to be able to get in on this offer right now. $175 throughout the entirety of the football season all the way through the Super Bowl. That's over at VSiN.com/subscribe. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And that also gets you covered through the beginning part of the college basketball season as well, which that's certainly something that I'm going to be taking a look at as well. But what we do have to take a look at a lot more throughout this hour is this baseball schedule that we've got for Friday. We've got all 30 teams in action, and if you're looking at things live with regards to the Sacramento A's against the Houston Astros. Nice walk-off winner here for the A's as they were able to get the job done in the bottom of the 10th inning. So nice big shout out to them. And we're going to start it off actually a little bit north of the border. Spencer Turnbull is going to be making his first start since the 2024 campaign. Has been utilized as a little bit more of a long guy. I think that he's got a little bit of intriguing value here going against the Chicago White Sox, as the teams out there in Chicago in general have been a very intriguing watch all season long. But we'll go north of the border on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Peterson holding it down tonight as we've got ourselves a lot that is going down in the sports world, because we do have a Game 7 in the NBA Finals, and don't think that there were a ton of people that were expecting a Game 7 in the NBA Finals, but we certainly do have it, so we got ourselves a lot of fun there. And if you missed what I was talking about in the previous segment with the player props, we'll re-rack that in about 30 minutes for you. But how about if we do take a look at baseball, because the one bad thing about the NBA Finals is that it's not going to be happening on Friday, but we do have plenty of baseball that is going to be going down. And we've got some baseball that is going to be going down north of the border with a guy that I think is going to be very intriguing to watch moving forward. This is 965-966 on the card. The Southsiders of the Chicago White Sox on the road against the Toronto Blue Jays. Spencer Turnbull is on the bump for the Jays, and Davis Martin goes for the White Sox, and the White Sox do find themselves as sizable underdogs, and between plus 177 to a plus 185. That neighbored about minus 202 to a minus 220. That number on the Jays, and total is 9, shaded down to the under just a little bit. And if you're looking at a little bit more of a run line price with the Toronto Blue Jays, you're going to be finding that in the vicinity of about a minus 105 or so. And I do think that if you could get actually closer to a plus 190, I would be willing to dive in on the White Sox on the money line. But what I really like here is the under. Semi-total at an 8.3, mainly because this is a Chicago White Sox team that has not been generating a lot of offense away from home. How about a whopping 2.9 runs per game away from home? That is dead sinking last out there in the American League. Just not a lot of power. Miguel Vargas has been able to give you 10 home runs. And really, other than Miguel Vargas, you just don't have a lot of power in this lineup. Andrew Benintendi has been able to give you a bit of something since coming off the injury list. He's up to 6 home runs this season. You've been able to get some good mixing and matching with regards to guys that are able to move the line, get on base, like Edgar Quiero has been able to do a really good job of hitting lefties thus far this season. And you've been able to get a little bit of upside with someone like Chase Meredith, who's been able to find a way on base, hitting for about a 280. But overall, it's been rough for the Chicago White Sox team. Not a lot of guys drawing walks. And then the guys at the bottom of the fold, mainly these old veterans like a Josh Rojas, Joshua Palacios, and Luis Robert have been hitting a 215 or lower. Luis Robert, like the last few seasons, just has not been able to move the line, hasn't been able to provide you with a lot of power, and this is a White Sox bullpen that has been a little bit less than tremendous. We're going to call it what it is. They're in the bottom 10 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, especially with Mike Fassil, who's been a really good long guy for them this season, now needing to be a bullpen arm, or needing to be a starter for them as well after being a bullpen arm to begin the season, so that does hurt their depth a little bit. But for the Blue Jays, I think that with Spencer Turnbull, it's going to be interesting to see how deep he goes. I just don't know if he's going to be able to give you a full 5-plus innings, but I do think that moving forward, he provides quite a bit of value. Like, I felt like the Philadelphia Phillies should have been starting him over Taiwan Walker last season. That was a move that made no sense whatsoever. With the Philadelphia Phillies last year, he was a mix of a starter and a bullpen piece, 265 ERA, albeit it had a 385 fielding independent, but 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, 1 home run given up in 9 innings. I'm not going to make too much out of this, too, shall we say, relief stint sample size for Mr. Turnbull. He's only went 4 1/3 innings. He's allowed 1 run, so ho-hum there, but with Turnbull, he is one of those guys that dealt with quite a bit of injury throughout his career in 2022, missed the entirety of the season. And I mean, this is now year number 3 coming off of major surgery. He should be able to hit his peak here, and I do think that he's going to be able to do so moving forward. And it's been a Blue Jays bullpen that has been in the top 12 in terms of their ERA. We got a lot of guys like a Paxton Schultz, Yordan Rodriguez. They're able to provide a sub 3.5 ERA, give you some good long relief. Braden Fisher, guys like this, have been good as well. The big thing with the Blue Jays, though, is that this has not been a great offense either. You've got George Springer, who's been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers. He's been rock solid. Heck, if you're looking at a man that is right now tied for third in home runs for the team, and Dalton Varsho, he's been out for like 40 games this far this season. Now, these guys are still finding a way to be able to move the line, get on base. Nathaniel Luke's currently being on the concussion aisle, has been earning the seam a little bit, but even someone like a Miles Straw has been able to get on. Vladimir Jr., down with his power, 9 home runs, but he's giving you north of a 360 on base. You've had Bo Bichette hit north of a 270. He's up to 10 home runs as well, so do look at the circumstance. And I do think that for the Blue Jays, this is starting to get a little bit too rich for my blood, just because I do think that with Turnbull, he's probably not going to be able to give you a ton of length, but still, I do think that with the just under in this game, it is a relatively solid value, so looking at that under, if we could get closer to about a plus 190 or so, we'd be willing to dive in on Davis Martin on the money line, mainly because with Davis Martin, guy that doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, fewer than 6 strikeouts for 9 innings, but has been able to do a solid job being able to keep the walks down, give you fewer than 3 walks per 9 innings. So going to be taking a look at a long shot money line price here on the Southsiders, and I'm going to be in on this total under as well, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we do dive in on the National League side of things, as right now as I'm doing this, you actually have the LA Dodgers in progress in the bottom of the ninth inning, trying to rally against the San Diego Padres, and to use up some of the, shall we say, lesser bullpen pieces. So I think that they're going to be relatively good to go against the Washington Nationals. A Nationals team that entered into Thursday, by the way, on a nice 11-game losing streak. They did bust through by being able to defeat the Colorado Rockies in extra innings, but we'll see if they can make it 2 in a row with their ace, Mackenzie Gore, on the bump for the Nationals, and Clayton Kershaw is on the bump for the Dodgers. Dodgers about a minus 195 to a minus $2 favorite. Neighbor about plus 170, plus 180. That number on Washington. Total is 8.5, and for Mackenzie Gore, you want to talk about a guy that's just absolutely mowing them down. North of 12.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. Leads the National League in terms of strikeouts per 9 rate. He's been very good with guards command as well. That's always been an issue for him throughout his career. Fewer than 3 walks allowed per 9 innings. Less than 1.1 home runs allowed per 9. But he does have to face off against this Death Star lineup that is the LA Dodgers. That's getting north of 6.1 runs per game. Shohei Ohtani just continuing to do Shohei Ohtani things. 25-plus home runs this season. Mookie Betts had a little bit of a rough start to the season, but now he's moved the line, getting on base a little bit more. Andy Páez is up to 15-plus home runs. He's been able to give you north of a 275 average as well, and I do think that for the Dodgers, they do break through against Gore, but I mean, where they really break through, in my opinion, is against this bullpen. This is a Washington Nationals bullpen that is dead stinking last in the National League in terms of ERA, well north of 5 ERA. They just haven't found good, reliable pieces. It felt like Cole Henry might be that, but now he's supplying the team with north of a 3.5 ERA. Jackson Rutledge got off to a nice start to the season. He's went down the toilet bowl. You've had Kyle Finnegan be a relatively okay closer, but you need to get to the ninth inning to be able to utilize him, and he blew a save against the Colorado Rockies. So it's all not good, very, very bad for this Washington Nationals bullpen. Meanwhile, for the LA Dodgers, it's been a pretty pedestrian bullpen for them. They had to trot out their Ben Casparis as a bit of a bulk guy, and he's been one of their better long relievers, but Jack Dreyer has been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA, like what I'm seeing out of Alex Vesian. They face off against a Washington Nationals team that has been, shall we say, hot and cold in terms of their lineup. Like, James Wood has been amazing. 20 home runs this far this season. I absolutely love what he's able to bring to the table. You do have a few guys like a C.J. Abrams who have been able to move the line, throw in there as well what you've been able to get out of Ose Tena when he's been out there in the lineup as well. But, I mean, you do have quite a few guys like a Josh Bell who have been able to give you a bit of power. 9 home runs this year, but hitting below the Bidot sign of 200. Interestingly, for the Washington Nationals, averaging about 3.8 to 3.9 runs per game at home. That does go up to 4.5 runs per game away from home. And they do face off against Clayton Kershaw in an advanced age, less than 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. But, I mean, his first few starts of the season, you could tell that it was less than savory. He needed to find his footing. He just needed to be able to get a little bit more of a comfort level in general. Now he's been able to come back, and he's been able to do a much better job for this team. As for Kershaw, overall for the season, he has been able to supply you with about a 3.25 ERA. He has given up now 3 earned runs or fewer in each out of his last 5 starts, so he's been able to get back online. And the walk numbers still relatively solid, about 3.3 walks per 9 innings, keeping the ball in the yard with giving up less than home run per 9. That said, I do think that the Nationals get to him just a little bit here, but again, I do think that the LA Dodgers will not be denied at the plate. I do like the LA Dodgers with regards to this over, and if you're looking at that run line, you're finding that about even money, plus 105, I'd be willing to lay up to a minus 105 with that Dodgers run line. So looking at the Dodgers on the run line and the over, as you're going to be able to get them in a bounce back spot. They did fall to the San Diego Padres by a count of 5-3 in terms of the game on Thursday, so makes it all the better, in my opinion, for them. And what is going to be really interesting as well is taking a look at this game between the Houston Astros and the LA Angels. This is 967-968 on the card. As for the LA Angels, you say Kikuchi, I say he's starting for the LA Angels. And you've got Hunter Brown on the bump for the Houston Astros. Astros are between minus 175 to minus 185 favorites, between about plus 150 to plus 163. That number on the LA Angels, and the total on this game is 8. And Hunter Brown has been tremendous this far this season. A sub-2 ERA. He's been able to cut down on the walks, fewer than 3 walks per 9 innings, 10 plus strikeouts per 9. This is starting to get just a little bit lofty, though, as for the Houston Astros coming off of a loss in extra innings against the Sacramento A's here on Thursday. And for the Houston Astros, they were able to bust through a little bit more with that offense against the Sacramento A's, but that's because you're in very much a hitter ballpark that has been very, very kind to runs. I do feel like this has gone a little bit too far. And for Yusei Kikuchi, he needs to hone in on the walks, but I do think that he's got a little bit of an upside for this Friday card. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more on the flip side. And additionally, we have to hit upon the Tampa Bay Rays and the Detroit Tigers. We've got ourselves some American League chatter coming up on the flip side on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Craig Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, as we do have ourselves a lot that is going to be going down in baseball, but we've obviously got a lot in the NBA Finals as well. We will wrap up the show by taking a look at everything that I'm looking at in terms of Game 7 right now. That card might be expanded a little bit more because we just had these numbers come up on the board here overnight. And I mean, we still have plenty of time to be able to bet on this game. It is going to be happening on Sunday, but no doubt, lots of anticipation, lots of, shall we say, greatness that is going to be on display there. But lots of greatness that is going to be on display in the Major League Baseball front on this Friday as well. All 30 teams in action. Left off by talking about this Angels versus Astros game, and I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the Angels on the money line. Right now, find that as low as a plus 150, as high as a plus 163. And with Yusei Kikuchi, even though he's been down with his strikeouts a little bit, 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, he is allowing 4 walks per 9. He's been able to do a good job keeping things out in front of him, not allowing the deep ball, less than a home run allowed per 9 innings. And for this Houston Astros lineup, it's just been a little bit rough for them thus far this season. As for the Astros, Isaac Paredes has been really good. He's been able to give you 15 home runs, and to the credit of Jose Altuve, he's back to giving you a double-figure amount of bombs as well. But for the Houston Astros, about 3.7, 3.8 runs per game. That is a bottom eight mark they're going to find in all of baseball. It's clear that you need a few more guys to be able to draw walks, like Christian Walker along with Yunier Diaz. Both of these guys give you a sub-290 on base. You've got a lot of guys that, I mean, they do a nice job of being able to hit for average, like Mauricio Dubon has been able to hit for a relatively solid average, but he's not really giving you a lot of, shall we say, walks. They're not really doing a great job of being able to take pitches. And for the Houston Astros, not necessarily a team that's applying a ton of boom. They're right around about league average in terms of home runs on a per at bat basis. And what I find to be very intriguing about the LA Angels, how all or nothing this team is. How about them being number 3 in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at bat basis? But if you take a look at the way that they're trying to be able to get on base, that's been a little bit of a difference. Sorry for our good friends, the LA Angels. 30th in the big leagues in terms of their overall on base percentage. 272 on base at home thus far this season. That is by far dead last in the big league. So you've got a lot of guys that they do a nice job of supplying the boom, but if they don't supply the boom, they supply you with nothing whatsoever. Look no further than Taylor Ward, 19 home runs this season, sub-275 on base. You've got Joe Adell setting fire to the rain. He's been able to give you double figure round of bombs, sub-300 on base. Logan Hoppe, well, I'm happy to say that he's been able to give you 13-plus home runs. Not so happy to say that he's giving you less than a 280 on base. So, got a lot of guys like that. And even Mike Trout has been hitting below a 240 this far this season as well. So, it's been a little bit rough on that front. And for the Angels, it has been a grody bullpen, to say the least. You've got, I mean, Hunter Strickland has actually been really good for them. I can't believe it. But, I mean, he's not given up a run this far this season. Everyone else, pretty much north of a 4 ERA in that bullpen. Rock and Roll Burke, you've had Ryan Zephyrhyan, Kenley Jansen, Reed Demers, who has been better, by the way, but still supplying north of a 4 ERA. And for the Astros, that is the saving grace of this team. You've got so many guys that you're able to mix and match with. Brian King, Brian Abreu, Josh Hader, Bennett Sosa. You just go down the list of these guys that are able to give you a sub-3 ERA, and they've been able to do a nice job. But they did have to go 10 innings here on Thursday against the Sacramento A's, so that burns out that bullpen just a little bit more. And I think that Hunter Brown might be doing for just a little bit of regression, as I mean, for our good friend and Mr. Brown, again, a sub-225 ERA has really been able to do a nice job of being able to mow them down. That ERA does go up a little bit more on the road, though, and I do think that the Angels might be able to get to him for a little bit of hard contact. So at a +150 or higher, was willing to take a shot on the Halos on the money line, and this is a total that I'm going to be taking a shot on the under on semi-total at a 7.7. It's something else that you want to take a shot on. Profit X. They are making sure that baseball fans are able to get in on all the action. As Profit X, they are offering the best odds all baseball season long. Profit X is a peer-to-peer sports exchange that is available in all 40 plus states, and that is the first of its kind in the United States. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than the sports books, and that guarantees you the best odds by an average of 10 to 20%. You even get to request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with the promo code of VSIN, V-S-I-N. That'll get you 200 in profit cash over your first month, as it's cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We have ourselves quite a few interleague games that we have yet to touch upon for this Friday, so how about if we get things started here? And I'm a man from the great state of Wisconsin, so I feel like it's in my contract that I need to address this game at some point. It's a Milwaukee Brewers on the road going up against the Minnesota Twins, the land of 10,000 lakes, which, by the way, Wisconsin actually has more lakes than Minnesota, so a little bit of a humble brag there. But that said, you've got the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, who's going to be on the bump for the Brewer, and Joe Ryan goes for the Minnesota Twins. Twins are between minus 155 to minus 167 favorites, between about plus 137, seeing as high as plus 143, that number on the Milwaukee Brewers. And the total is an 8. I am going to be willing to take a shot on the under, and right now seeing at circa that plus 143. Give me the Miz with the Milwaukee Brewers for Jacob Mizorowski. Really good at the minor league level. He was mowing them down with 11.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. Really good stuff. Now, the one thing that he does have is a little bit of the Rick the Wild Thing Vaughn approach in his walks. Even at the minor league level, he was giving up north of 4.4 walks per 9 innings. And in his debut start against the St. Louis Cardinals. It was a home start that he made a week ago. He had 5 scoreless innings, 5 punchouts, did give up 4 walks. That's a bit of an issue, considering that the Milwaukee Brewers are in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, like they were relying upon Yoel Piamps, Elvis Piguero, to duplicate what they did last season. Got a big giant nothing burger out of them. Neither of those guys are currently on the roster, so that's not great. And you've had just some ups and downs with someone like Grant Anderson, for example. But Ebner Uribe has been a really good, shall we say, mix and match long guy who's been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. You've been able to get really good innings as well out of someone like Nick Mears, who's giving you a sub-3 ERA. Trevor McGill has been relatively trustworthy. And for the Brewers, they've been a little bit redder recently with their bullpen. Last 30 days, 15th in terms of bullpen ERA. Not lighting the world on fire, but they're not completely lighting down games either. And for the Minnesota Twins, they've been 27th in the big leagues over the last 30 days with regards to their bullpen ERA. Now, I think that Joe Ryan is going to be able to have a nice start here. 10 strikeouts and 1.9 walks for 9 innings. And if you look at him throughout his career, gives up closer to about 1.2 to 1.3 home runs per 9 innings when he's at home. On the road, that goes up to about 1.6 home runs per 9 innings. So has been quite a bit better when he has been in his friendly confines. And for Joe Ryan, sub-3 ERA this season. And you saw the Minnesota Twins put up a nice 12 spot against the Cincinnati Reds on Thursday. But still, I take a look at this bunch with the Minnesota Twins. I still have some question marks with regards to this lineup. Not about Byron Buxton. Byron Buxton is really starting to come into his own. He's been able to do a nice job, give you 15 home runs. He's now really doing a nice job of being a move line. And Harrison Bader, to his credit, 330 on base. Cody Clemens has been a little bit hot and cold. He's been able to get a little bit warmer here, but Carlos Correa is just not the Carlos Correa that we all know and love. He's been able to get on base a little bit, but certainly he's not supplying a lot of power this season. And then on the flip side for the Brewers, quartet of different guys that'll be able to give you at least 10 solo on base. It says you'll be able to have that out of the likes of a Jackson Chourio, Christian Yelich, Sal Frelick, Bryce Turang. And for Turang and Frelick, hovering right about a 350 on base, would like to see Jackson Chourio be able to draw a few more walks. But overall, I do take a look at this spot for the Brewers, and I do think that they're going to be able to find a way to supply some offense. You got Reese Hoskins giving you north of a 330 on base, along with William Contreras. And for Hoskins, he's been able to supply 10 plus home runs thus far this season as well. And for Toronto, or I should say for the Minnesota Twins, I do think that just a little bit tough with what you're seeing in this bullpen, because you've got yourself the top guys doing a nice job, as you've got the likes of a Yoan Duran, who's been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. They just got off the injury list Jani Kalum, who's been able to give you a sub-1 ERA. But these guys like a Griffin Jacks have just not been there as well. That's why that bullpen ERA has really ballooned up. Do think that this is going to be a low-scoring game. So my total is 7.7. Minnesota, a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark. So like the under, and I do like that money line of the Milwaukee Brewers. And it's when I think it's going to be fun as well. It's DeGrom Day for the Texas Rangers. The Texas Rangers are on the road against the Pittsburgh Pirates, as this is 973, 974 on the card. Mike Burrows is on the bump for Pittsburgh, and Mr. DeGrom goes for Texas. We were seeing a few eights out there, and we're still seeing one or two straight eights. Most of these have went to a 7.5, though, and with the Texas Rangers, right around about minus 180 to minus 190 is their money line price. And we get as high as plus 165 on the Pittsburgh Pirates. And if you're looking at the run line price of the Texas Rangers, anywhere between about minus 106 to a minus 110. And I'm going to be willing to trust in the Rangers run line at a minus 110. I'm willing to go up to a minus 117, mainly because with Texas, even though you don't have a lot of power for this team, they have been a bottom 6 team in the big leagues with regards to runs per game. Jacob DeGrom has been tremendous. 2 runs or fewer allowed in each out of his last 11 starts. First 2 or 3 starts of the season was a little bit shaky. Keep in mind, he's been injured for about 500 million billion years, but he has come back and he has looked amazing. Strikeout stuff is down, a little bit less than 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's doing a nice job with the command, not giving up the deep ball. And for Mike Burrows, credit where it is due. Last 3 starts, he has come up from the minor league level, and he has been rock solid. He's given up 3 runs in those last 3 starts. The Pirates, though, they are currently at 30 teams at the big league level, number 30 in terms of runs per game. You've got 3 guys on the roster who have supplied north of 4 home runs this season. I think that that's going to be a big issue. Even here at a 7.5, a relatively low total, I do like this total under. And for the Rangers, want to go with the run line here. And we'll wrap up the show by taking a look at what I'm all looking to bet for Game 7 of the NBA Finals and this Friday baseball card here on Cashin' Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here for the final segment of the night, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, with Cashing Out. Myself, Greg Oops Peterson, holding it down tonight. If you're listening live to Cashing Out, well, you're going to be getting a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay, coming up 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern, it's VSiN by the Books, Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross. They do an absolutely amazing job every single day. I will not be joining them for the first guest spot of the show on this day, but you know what? Always a pleasure to be able to join them. They're going to be talking some UFC Fight Night with Lou Fenicaro, so you want to be on the lookout there. And now my job, it is very clear, to be able to get you to the great show, VSiN by the Books, safely, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket as well. And I can tell you right now, they are going to be talking about the NBA Finals. And I've got my initial bets that I'm looking to be able to place with regards to the prop market right now, as we do have ourselves a spread of between 8 to 8.5, with the OKC Thunder being the favorite here in game number 7. And total's quite a bit lower than we've been finding all throughout this series. The closing total in a lot of places for this game number 6 was between 222.5 to 223.5. And now we are down to, in a lot of places, between about a 215 to a 215.5. So a full 7.5 to 8-point drop in regards to this total. And I did take a look at this spot, and I do think that you've got some relatively solid value on the prop front, because I just want to be able to bet this in game. What I've been taking a look at all throughout the postseason is the team that gets down going into the fourth quarter, being able to bet them live, it's been working out really, really well. Even with the OKC Thunder here in game number 6, they did win the fourth quarter by 13 points. So they were able to, at the very least, atone for going down 30 by losing by 17 to be able to give you a little bit of window dressing there. But when I take a look at this prop front, I think that it's interesting to look at these, shall we say, role players and just be able to fade them. Because with the role players, you saw a lot of them be able to go over their player prop in game number 6. I just can't foresee a case where we have a blowout where any team is going to be conceding. Like, even if the Indiana Pacers are down like 15, 17 points with like 4 or so minutes remaining, they're still going to be batting down the hatches, doing everything humanly possible to be able to have that late game comeback and try to be able to create a little bit of magic. You just don't go that far to be able to go that far. So I'd be looking at these guys like an Isaiah Joe for the OKC Thunder. Maybe you take a look at like a TJ McConnell, even though he does play some pretty solid minutes off the bench for the Indiana Pacers. Those are the guys I'm looking at a little bit more for the under. Now, the one guy that I won't be is Ben Mathurin. Mathurin just had his player prop set way too high for my liking in game number 6. That was a big response to the Tyrese Haliburton injury. And Haliburton looked really good here in game number 6. He didn't have to have a ton of minutes racked up. So I do think that that is going to be able to yield a little bit of value for you moving forward with the Indiana Pacers as well. I think that he's going to be just fine in game number 7 because, I mean, again, he was able to look just fine here in game number 6. So you got, in my opinion, a interesting case here with the Indiana Pacers where I'm going to be taking a look at what we're going to be getting in terms of the unders a little bit more with Pascal Siakam. I do think that the OKC Thunder going to hone on him a little bit. And I think that for the OKC Thunder, they look to go a little bit bigger as well. We saw Miles Turner be just completely neutralized here in game number 6. Pretty much the only guy that got neutralized in game number 6. 3 more points than myself. Really didn't rack up a lot of rebounds. But I think Isaiah Hartenstein, being able to get over 6.5 rebounds on him, you're able to get that in the neighborhood of about a minus 105, minus 110. That's a good look. I just can't get over like 10.5, even 9.5 rebounds with Chet Holmgren. I'm just not sure what you're going to be able to get out of him, though I know that he's going to be playing a lot of minutes. A lot of times he's able to impact the game without scoring or grabbing a whole bunch of rebounds, and just his overall length is able to be a disruption out there. So he's a little bit of an interesting case study, but I do think that in the end, you are going to be able to get quite a few of these guys to be able to yield a little bit of value with regards to going under in terms of more of the ancillary players, looking at Ben Mathurin with regards to his over, with regards to his points, and Isaiah Hartenstein to go over on rebounds. That's where I'm looking right now. Might add a little bit to the card once again going into the game on Sunday, since this is all very fresh. Just a few hours ago, we saw the Indiana Pacers absolutely house the OKC Thunder, but also for the OKC Thunder, note this. This is straight up record, but 18-2 coming off of a loss thus far this season. So they have responded very well there. And how about if we respond very well to what is going to be a great card in baseball on Friday, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we get you guys some great bets on this card, as we've got this all powered by G-Bank. GBank is introducing their trifecta. It is a $500 trifecta where you've got GBank, First Bet, and VSiN all coming together. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature card and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the trifecta. You'll receive a $200 cashback reward on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet, they're going to give you a $100 deposit match. And then Visa, they are able to finish off the trifecta with giving you a Visa Pro subscription through October 31st of a $200 value. And that is the $500 trifecta over at GBank, First Bank, or GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer, and this will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do apply. How about if we hit upon a game that I've not yet talked about, but did make my VSiN write-ups for the article on Friday? This is the Red Sox and the San Francisco Giants. Going to be the late game out there as the Giants, right around minus 120 to minus 130 or so favorites. You got a small plus number, about plus 110 to plus 112 on Boston. Total of 7.5. I really like what I've seen out of Hayden Birdsong. He does a nice job mowing them down, 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, and he's backed up by a San Francisco Giants bullpen that has been second to none this season. About a 2.62 ERA, that is number one in the big leagues. So many guys that you're able to mix and match with, like Tyler Rogers, Eric Miller, Camilo Duvall, and Camilo Duvall has looked much better than he did a season ago, by the way, but all these guys doing a nice job holding it down, and now for the San Francisco Giants, they've got the man that was on the Boston Red Sox at this time last week in Rafael Devers. Do think that his power numbers overall are going to go down, because when you go from Boston to San Francisco, that's quite a bit of a culture shock in terms of the way that you try to slug out the deep ball. But Devers still giving you 400 on base. Going to be a nice, shall we say, a spark plug for the San Francisco Giants offense, one that they really needed him, especially with Matt Chapman currently on the injured list. And for Hunter Dobbins, he's been solid in terms of not hurting himself. He's getting about 1.8 walks per 9 innings, giving up 1 home run per 9, but he's also not a strikeout artist, about 6.8 strikeouts per 9 innings. Ball very much is in play on him. Now, the Red Sox bullpen, it's been pretty solid. Brandon Bernardino has been giving up a few runs, but Garrett Woodlock in a long roll, about a 3 ERA. You've had Aroldis Chapman be an ageless one or north of 12 strikeouts per 9 innings, but I do think that for Dobbins, he gets hit a little bit more, and I do think that this Giants team, who has been a little bit hot and cold with regards to their lineup this year, Devers is exactly what they needed. Did set my total 7.8, like the over, and I do like the San Francisco Giants on the money line. This is a game that I think is going to be of great intrigue as well. Was promising Tigers versus the Rays. We failed to deliver on the last segment, but we've got it here. Right now with the Tigers, they're right around about minus 105 to minus 110 favorites. Very slim favorites. Total is an 8.5, and I just like Captain Jack Flaherty in this spot. Flaherty north of 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. Now, he is backed up by a Tigers bullpen that has honestly been a little bit shaky recently, but you still have the top guys doing a really good job. Brian Herter, who you're able to utilize as an opener, has been able to give you a sub-3 ERA, along with someone like a Chase Lee. Brendan Hennepy has been a little bit of a roll of the dice, and you do have Volves right now deal with a tad bit of an injury, but for the Tigers, you've also got a top-7 team in terms of runs per game. Trio of guys give you at least 13 home runs. Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Spencer Torkelson, and they get to go up against a guy, Mr. Boz, Shane Boz, who's given up 3-plus runs in 6 out of his last 8 starts, and I like Shane Boz. Shane Boz, I do think, has quite a bit of upside. He's dealt with a lot of major surgery over the last few seasons, but you know what? I do think that for the Boz, he's going to have a little bit of a tough time here with the Tigers, and I do the credit of the Rays. Top 16, once again, with regards to their bullpen array. So many guys like Garrett Clevenger, Manuel Rodriguez, Eric Orze, Pete Fairbanks, giving you a sub-3 array. And to the credit of the Rays, they're now a top-10 team in terms of runs per game as well. Junior Caminero, Brandon Lau, 30-plus home runs between these two guys. Yandy Diaz is up to a double-figure amount of bombs. He's been hitting 300-plus over the last 30 days as well. So these guys are starting to ascend a little bit for this team, but do you think that Flaherty in the end gives a better cert? I like the Tigers on the money line, and I do like this total over as well. And then one last one to hit, you've got the St. Louis Cardinals with them going with Andre 3000 Pallante going against Brady Singer and the Cincinnati Reds. And being able to get the Cincinnati Reds at a plus 120 or higher, I'm going to be looking there. Pallante is just not a guy that I'm very bullish on. He gives you fewer than 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's been walking north of 3 guys per nine innings, giving up the deep ball quite a bit more this season. And for Brady Singer, 3 runs or fewer allowed, and now 5 out of his last 6 starts. I do think that he holds it down for the Cincinnati Reds team. Now, I did set my total a little bit below 9, so I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that under, but I'm also going to be in on the money line here of the Cincinnati Reds. What else we're in on is a tremendous day here at VSiN. It all starts with VSiN by the books. Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross, they're going to be coming your way 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific. A numbers game with Gil Alexander. You get that at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. And then Money Moves with Stormy Bond and Tony Long, John Von Tobel. That starts at noon Eastern Time for a great Friday slate right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.